Oh, yeah, this is great. If you could stay with this, it's really, I'd be interested in your reactions because it is awesome, different things I say. So let's rewind that. Thanks for reminding me. I thought there was something we had to do.
What is it, Bob?
This is the first video is the first night, Saturday night, we go to Nicholas Flamel's restaurant, which is a 600-year-old restaurant. He's the alchemist that Rashi does a lot of information on. So then the second one was the next day, Sunday, we go to the famous Paris cemetery where all the celebrities, historical figures are buried. All right? So we walk through the cemetery and looking at different tombs of people, and I comment on them. So I want to put that, if you would have to watch this 2-hour and 10-minute video, which has a lot of great music, a lot of great text, and plus me interspersed speaking. But I want to create a document where you have my talking, and you don't have to wade through the whole video to hear my talking.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm making a separate acoustic streamlined version because I don't know if it's valuable, but it's very interesting what I say in different situations.
Is the video on Roxy's Vimeo page?
No, she has to correct it. So she took it down. She put it up. I know that Eben saw it, I think. Melody Rose saw it. They're there on my Facebook saying they liked it or saw it. But I don't think many people saw it because there's a lot of spelling mistakes and things in it that she wants to correct. So let's...
Okay, thanks.
I still have a copy of it, even though it ain't available anymore. But I still have a copy, so I can play that. So where is that? Go up to... Find the data. There it is. See, I have to... I'm going to be playing at 3:55 and then at 18:53, then 21-minute mark, so I'll just keep moving it forward. So it might require slight adjustments as I do it, as I find the spot. Okay, so let's just start it, and I'll start positioning it. Okay, I've got to mute you guys, but I'll stop every now and then to see what you think. There's one that's a fairly long stretch, one part, as we go from one tombstone to another.
All participants are now muted.
That's the thing. The audio is up. The famous cemetery of famous people, but it's the hall of failures. Every one of these people is a bloody failure. The hardest thing to do is to die. Aging is very hard. So we're walking around feeling very sad for these failures of human enterprise.
There is no guff.
You do not want to end up here. It's not a desirable location for your eternal faculties. So I'm here to spit on every grave that's here. It's absolute. Bad role models of mortality. This is the column on our RNA bottle. This is the column being used for the wrong purpose, for a black hole of futility. Okay, I think I'll get your response. Just to make sure you heard it.
All participants are now unmuted.
World Cemetery. Did you hear what I said? It is a garbage dump of failure.
Bob.
Yeah, everybody's a failure. Did you just say what I... I want. I don't know if you heard it. I said, I will spit on every grave. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I think it's very original. No one has entered the famous cemetery like that with my statement. So I wanted to immortalize it so you guys can listen to it and whenever you want, send it to friends. Here I am announcing this graveyard. This is
Bob,
the post-Trump revolution. What?
Did you say add role models of mortality or and?
I said bad. Role? These are bad role models.
Bad role models.
As a matter of fact, it's so great, I got to play the game. Just play the game.
Bad role models of mortality.
Yeah, bad romance. So let's just go back to where it was. Nice music. Here it is. Comes up. We're now in the famous cemetery of famous people, but it's the Hall of Failures. Every one of these people is a bloody failure. The hardest thing to do is to die. Aging is very hard. So we're walking around feeling very sad for these failures of human enterprise.
There is no guff.
You do not want to end up here. It's not a desirable location for your eternal faculties. So I'm here to spit on every grave that's here. Is absolute bad role models of mortality. This is the column on our RNA bottles. This is the column being used for the wrong purpose, for a black hole of futility. So it goes into some text, and then I move it forward to the next thing. Now, note, the devilish little Roxy is egging me on. I'm saying, you know, this is a herbal, and she's here giggling. Yeah, there's no guff. I mean, we sound like two evil people. Well, in normal terms, right? Not in the post-Trump era, but pre-Trump, sound like that. But it's cute the way she's going, there's no guff. So that's pretty unique. I am very proud of that. All right, now we move to... maybe I don't need to mute so much. Oh, look at that. Michael got canceled. Michael Brown's back. Anything you want to say about that? Any laughter you want to make? The little girl?
No, I was laughing when I got knocked off, Bob.
Yeah, you got knocked off. I know. So now you're back.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you miss the replay?
No, it was in the middle of the replay. I was already listening. I already heard the second spit part. So I got the whole bit. And then I got knocked off.
Bert. I will spit at every grave. It's probably against the law what I said. You can't say you're going to spit on it. That's defacing public property.
It's probably the most truthful thing that's ever been said in a graveyard, Bob.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
And you didn't say, okay. I will. You said, I'm here to spit on every grave. You were the purpose, your like intention of being there.
So, yeah, we're going to the cemetery. I have no idea what I'm going to say. She wants me to say stuff. I have to perform. And so you put me in front of the gate. I just spewed that. I didn't even know I was going to say that. It's just, well, that's what you say. When you're in front of a graveyard, from my honest perspective, this is a fucking cage of failures. So the truth just came out. Couldn't stop it. But I didn't know I was going to say it. And it's not scripted. That's what's unique about it. Okay, so then we go to the next thing, which is way up to 1853, 18 minutes and 3 seconds. So there's a lot of interesting text. Oh, look at that. It came right to 1850. Oh. Here, Mark McLuhan. This is his tomb because he unfortunately... So you know what I'm saying. There's this tomb, Femio Marchand. So I go on a rant. Oh, now how's that happen? That means you get people... exiting, and they we need to mark that. Unlock security. I don't know. Well, I guess that's okay. Should it be locked? We'll see if that continues. So this is a graveyard with the Marchand family, M-A-R-C-H-A-N-D. So Philip Marchand wrote the first biography of McLuhan. So I go on a rant about Philip Marchand. I don't even, you know, it has nothing to do with him, but the word triggers a rant. on him. So that's what I'm saying. If you miss a word or two, so just go back a bit, lead into it. Right here.
Dave Martin McLuhan. This is his tomb because he unfortunately didn't go past McLuhan to Dobbstown. So this is Bill Marchand's fate. They've already made a gravestone for him in another world. This is your future, Phil.
This is his future. This tombstone they already built for him. Hey, where's the laughter? I'm doing this for the laughs, guys. Come on. Okay, so there's more text. Then we go up to 2128.
Realism, 19th century realism, which was obsolete by the...
Okay, so I'm looking at the statue for Balzac, the tomb of the famous French writer in the 19th century, Balzac. And he does realism. So we're looking at the author of what's called realism, which was obsolesced by the photograph.
Balzac, he was trying to portray all society. He wanted to make a big novel with 4,000 characters. Here he is.
He's the realist phase. They say realism, 19th century realism, which was obsolesced by the photograph. Mr. Balzac gave up all ambition after the photography came forward. And he relied on Mallarmé to come up with a solution, Stephen Mallarmé. Many years later, figured out a way to write contrary to the photograph. We knew the living depth of the word, of verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M, verbum. Aha!
Oh, wow!
So this is actually Mr. Balzac's 4,000 character book, so that he just...
So what's happening here is beside Balzac, who wrote a novel or wanted to with 4,000 characters, the guy beside him who died has a huge sculptured textbook. Huge book. That's his tombstone. So we're making sort of fun of this guy, you know, try to outdo the big book of Balzac by making a big tombstone of one. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to start and move it back a bit.
And pull off so then somebody knows. Realism, 19th century realism, which was obsolesced by the photograph. Mr. Balzac gave up all ambition after the photography came forward. And he relied on Mallarmé to come up with a solution, Stephen Mallarmé. Many years later, figured out a way to write contrary to the photograph. We knew the living depth of the word, of verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M, verbum. Aha!
Oh, wow!
So this is actually Mr. Balzac's 4,000 character book, so that he just couldn't pull off, so then somebody knowing Mr. Balzac satirized him by sticking him in the
Okay, so I'm saying that Balzac gave up writing because the photograph did his realism better than he could. And then the solution was Mallarmé. Stephen Mallarmé, late 19th century, came up with this abstract, crazy poetry, which was using the word as a probe rather than being realistic. So that influences James Joyce, T.S. Eliot, Ezra Pound,
yeah,
Mr. Mallarmé. Then we go and look at the novel, Big Concrete Novel, and I don't catch all that I say there. So I'm going to just read, now that you know what I'm saying, I'm going to redo it and get the gist of what I'm saying.
Realism, 19th century realism, which was obsolesced by the photograph. Mr. Balzac gave up all ambition after the photography came forward. He relied on Mallarmé to come up with the solution, Stephen Mallarmé. Many years later, figured out a way to write contrary to the photograph. We knew the living depth of the word, of verbum, verb.
He knew, Mallarmé knew the living depth of the word, the verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M, which is sort of like pre-language, grunting, verbum, or caveman grunt.
U-M, verbum.
Aha.
Oh, wow.
So this is actually Mr. Balzac's 4,000 character book, so that he just couldn't pull off, but then somebody knowing Mr. Balzac satirized him by sticking him in. Who is this character? Yeah, he's a sociologist. Mr. Mentaito Gone. 1920. Now there's a guy who dedicated, he's the whole world ends in a book. The famous line, the world ends in a book. So this guy.
So I'm saying the guy who made this huge tombstone sculpture of a big book, he's taking literally, I think it's Mallarmé who says, the world ends in a book. I think he said that in the 19th century. Mallarmé, or one of those French symbolists, thinker, poet, the world ends in a book. So this guy who did the tombstone believed that. So he had himself be buried inside a book. So that's what Roxy's laughing at. That was the last sentence.
Oh, here's the before film.
Yeah, the French and English thing.
He had, you know, Etienne Gaspard French and then Robertson. Bobson.
Yeah, the inventor of phantasmagoria.
Yeah. You know what that
does. So, we're in front of a statue, tombstone by a guy named Robertson, and he, I don't know, he's the British guy who invented the film or something after the Lumiere brothers in Paris. So I say, Robertson, who's that, Bobson? That was the joke, Bobson.
We're sitting here in the horrible, another failure of this vampire-ridden mausoleum. Mr. Malays hit the gall to retrieve the cinema medium, which was predicted by romantic painting, the aesthetic moment. These guys add a bit of kinetic dimension and has led to the post-littered children we have today. If we didn't have cinema, we wouldn't have Web 2.0. So, this guy started the Armageddon of virtual reality. You have to read Arthur Croker, how the telegraph and the photography came in at the same time, merged thanks to Mr. Malays into this moving electric thing that has made Connie and anybody I've ever come across be incredibly, we won't say that. anybody else, they just don't know. Right next door, the founder of homeopathy. Right there, Femihoma Wood Homeopathy. Isn't that what it says? Connie now has the correct leader.
Okay, so I'm complaining about the inventor of photography, Mr. Malies, M-E-L-I-E-S, of the cinema, the inventor of cinema. And I really go back to virtual reality. Coker says begins with the photograph and the telegraph, invented around 1839, 1840, about the same time. So you bring them together, and then you get the photograph, telegraphic, telegraphed around the world. Then you get the kinetic aspect, the movement aspect added to it, and that's the movie, cinema. So I then start to say, make a claim about Carolyn being addicted to something, but she's standing there, so I had to stop my sentence. And that's what the game is about. And I got to say it, whatever I was going to say. Okay, so now I'm going to replay it for you. Now you know what I'm saying. So you get the and then right beside it is Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy. So we have some interesting things to say about him. Mr.
We're sitting here in the horrible, another failure of this vampire-ridden mausoleum. Mr. Malaise had the gall to retrieve the cinema medium, which was predicted by romantic painting, the aesthetic moment. These guys add a bit of kinetic dimension and has led to the post-literate children we have today. If we didn't have cinema, we wouldn't have Web 2.0. So this guy started the Armageddon of virtual reality. You have to read Arthur Croker, how the telegraph and the photography came in at the same time, merged thanks to Mr. Malaise into this moving electric thing that has made Connie and anybody I've ever come across be incredibly we won't say that. Anybody else, they just don't know. Right next door, the founder of
the guy before Robertson, he had something to do with inventing phantasmagoria, which I guess was some photographic semi-cinematic thing before the Malaise. So I go, right next door is
homeopathy. Right there, Femihoma Wood homeopathy. Isn't that what it says? We're getting Connie now has the correct leader.
This follows is Félix de Beaujour.
What's happening here is we're looking at a huge cone, narrow cone, so it's like a huge phallus. So I make up some story about that.
Is a legend because this is the tomb that inspired Sigmund Freud to come up with phallic symbolism. This is where he got his idea from Mr. Beaujour's tomb. This smacks you in the face what it obviously means. We will have to Google Mr. Beaujour to see what we...
What was his problem?
Yeah, what was his itch? But he certainly maybe have the tallest tomb in the garden here.
Félix de Beaujour. They just tall things.
What are the dates?
What a big thing. Felix was bigger. Mine is bigger.
Okay, I'm going to repeat what you heard. I'm saying that Freud was inspired by this big phallic symbol, and I say, then we wonder about who is this guy who made it. This Félix de Beaujour, and I say, what kind of itch did he have? What kind of neurosis made him want to make this thing? It's huge. It's like a huge monument, an obelisk almost, above his tombstone. Very tall. So, maybe
how do you spell Beaujour?
B-E-A-U-J-O-U-R. It's like beautiful day.
Oh, okay.
B-E-A-U-J-O-U-R.
This follows is Félix de Beaujour.
Is a legend because this is the tomb that inspired Sigmund Freud to come up with phallic symbolism. This is where he got his idea from Mr. Beaujour's tomb. This smacks you in the face what it obviously means. We will have to Google Mr. Beaujour to see what...
What was his problem?
Yeah, what was his itch?
But he certainly maybe have the tallest tomb in the garden here.
What a big thing.
Roxy's in awe, and she looks at it and she goes, big dick. Big dick. Almost in awe. That's what she's saying there.
Felix was bigger. Mine is bigger.
Roxy's comparing a smaller obelisk to Felix's and saying, Felix is bigger. Felix wins. Okay, so we come up to the section at 34:25, and it goes 13 minutes to 47:45. So this is going to be a whole stretch of stuff. I don't know if I... Maybe I could replay parts. I'm not sure. Let's see how audible it is. But I guess we visit a lot of tombstones in a stretch. So here we go.
Patch. If you do not know your PIN, please enter pound.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm doing here is I'm trying to call Ion. This is our first attempt to call Ion while we're at the place. It fails. We can't get it to work or something. So we have to wait till we get back to the hotel and then talk to Ion. So you'll hear the operator talking to me saying, can't do it or something.
In the pantom.
I need to look that up, Carol. Oh, in the pantom.
Thank you. You want
to... Thank you.
Now, I need to look
here's
up...
Here's a bee.
But this is good news. We... What?
They're looking at a monument with a big bee. So they start talking about the bee.
Bee.
A bee?
Bob.
Oh. Okay, what we need to do... I need to look up the booklet. To check if I've got the right...
Now, this is Mr. Hilaire Belloc's tombstone. Mr. Belloc.
This is Mr. Belloc, B-E-L-L-O-C, a Catholic writer in the 20s and 30s, who McLuhan read. So I'm talking about Mr. Belloc, who some people say was a big influence on McLuhan.
By an obscure contingent of McLuhan fanatics, I think the Belloc was a big influence on McLuhan. He read, McLuhan read Belloc in the...
I take the opportunity to smear Mark Stallman, who is the small contingent of McLuhan fanatics who claim Belloc is the big key to McLuhan. So I'll redo that so you can enjoy it a little more clearly.
Bop.
Oh. Okay, what we need to do... I need to look up the booklet to check if I've got the right...
Now, this is Mr. Hilaire Belloc's tombstone. Mr. Belloc, by an obscure contingent of McLuhan fanatics, I think the Belloc was a big influence on McLuhan. He read, McLuhan read Belloc in the 30s, along with Etienne Gilson and Maritain and other Catholic philosophers and thinkers. And Belloc talks a lot about highways and media. Doesn't use the word media, but he does discuss technologies. So Tom Wolfe mentions Belloc in his documentary on McLuhan. So this guy tended to be, in simple terms, a right-winger. Didn't like the collectivist movements that were coming into the 20th century under the radio impact. So he's a little-known potential influence on McLuhan. If anybody ever influenced McLuhan, that's another question. I take the position that nobody influenced McLuhan, that he would read Belloc to find out what people were thinking, and then try to find the ground of why Belloc noticed these things. And it turned out to be the electric environment was the ground, in McLuhan's terms. And he got to that point through Wyndham Lewis and James Joyce and Pound and Eliot, what I call the vortices. So here's Mr. Belloc. He has his own place in Pierre Lachaise. So Mr. Belloc is just...
Now, right there, they suddenly show a chaplain name, and so the audience laughs. Roxy put in some laugh track and showed the name of chaplain near Belloc's tombstone. So I continue talking.
Down the street from Charlie Chaplin. And in there somewhere, if you haven't found it yet, is Merleau Ponty, the phenomenologist.
Merleau Ponty, the phenomenologist.
Once in the 80s and 90s in academia, McLuhan said he was a phenomenologist without relating it to the concepts of the day, whereas someone like Roman Barthes would relate his phenomenology to the concepts of the day.
We're going to take the B metro station because it's raining.
We have Mr. B here. We know who that refers to. Staring at Mr. Bullock. Two B. Bob versus Bullock. Charlie Chaplin, the great model for Leopold Bloom in Ulysses by Joyce. So you have Connie here. Her allegiance to the Bobby. Right, this is Ozma, which is a variation on cosmic.
The tomb with the big B on it, letter B, Carol's standing under, she sides with the B tomb as opposed to Hilaire Belloc, which is right across the little pathway. B versus Belloc. And then the title under B is the Cosma, Ozma something, and I cite Zappa's character in one of his plays, a Broadway musical called The Cosmic Queen. So that's what's being said.
Joseph Baroli Ozma. The Osmics.
You can just go back a bit. Let's do some of this.
My, it's bigger.
We're going to talk about the B again, leading into Hilaire Belloc.
Hash. If you do not know your PIN, please enter pound.
In the pound sign.
I need to look that up, Carol. Oh, in the pound sign.
Thank you. You want
to... Thank you.
Now, I need to look
Here's
up...
Here's a B.
But this is good news. We... What?
A B.
A B?
Bop.
Oh. Okay, what we need to do... I need to look up the booklet. To check if I got the right... Now, this is Mr. Hilaire Belloc. Mr. Belloc, by an obscure contingent of McLuhan fanatics, I think the Belloc was a big influence on McLuhan. McLuhan read Belloc in the 30s, along with Etienne Gilson, Maritain, and other Catholic philosophers and thinkers. And Belloc talks a lot about highways and media. Doesn't use the word media, but he does discuss technologies. So Tom Wolfe mentions Belloc in his documentary on McLuhan. So this guy tended to be, in simple terms, a right-winger. Didn't like the collectivist movements that were coming in the 20th century and the radio impact. So he's a little-known...
So I'm saying that Belloc tended to be a right-winger. He didn't like the collectivist movements inspired by radio. And
potential influence on McLuhan, if anybody ever influenced McLuhan, that's another question. I take the position that nobody influenced McLuhan, that he would read Belloc to find out what people were thinking and then try to find the ground of why Belloc noticed these things. And it turned out the electric environment was the ground in McLuhan's terms. And he got to that point through Wyndham Lewis and James Joyce and Pound and Eliot, what I call abortuses. So here's Mr. Belloc. He has his own place in Pierre Lachaise. So Mr. Belloc is just down the street from Charlie Chaplin. And in there somewhere, if you haven't found it yet, is Merleau Ponty, the phenomenologist. Big influence in the 80s and 90s in academia. McLuhan said he was a phenomenologist without relating it to the concepts of the day, where someone like Roman Barthes would relate his phenomenology to the concepts of the day.
And now we're
leftist, pinko.
We're going to take the B manifestation because it's raining.
We have Mr. B here. We know who that refers to. Staring at Mr. Bullock. Two B. Bob versus Bullock. Charlie Chaplin, the great model for Leopold Bloom in Ulysses by Joyce. So you have Connie here. Her allegiance to the Bobby. Right, this is Ozma, which is a variation on Cosmic Queen. Joseph Baroli Ozma. The Ozmic sense, the sense of smell. But a nice little, what do you call those things?
Glass window.
What?
Glass.
This obviously is a very high quality mausoleum. This Bob mausoleum, opposite Mr. Bullock, Dr. Dean reports that she went in there and there was knocking at her feet. Bob will test to validate and verify.
I'm walking into the tomb with the Cosmic Queen under the B, and Carolyn's already stood under it and raised her hands, and we heard the soundtrack cheer. She picked the Cosmic Queen to be photographed under. Then I walk in, and Carolyn thinks she's heard a ghost, but I find it is just a rocking floor, cement piece, rocking back and forth. It had no ghost. She didn't know what the sound was. And that's back when she... I don't know. She had her ear fixed by then. So she sometimes couldn't pick up little subtleties like that. Wouldn't know where the sound was coming from. That's all changed now.
Okay. Well, Dr. Dean fooled us. It's just the misbalanced concrete.
It's loose.
There's no ghost. So cancel everything we've said
for that. Looking at the painter Eugene Delacroix. And some paintings by Delacroix. His realism precedes photographs. Marianne in the painting, the revolutionary woman, wears the alchemist's hat.
We're looking for some ghosts. We don't find them. I think we're in a parallel world. Where are they? They disappear.
We're looking for particular people. We can't find them. Roxy forwards the thesis that they were in a parallel world, disappeared or something.
Hiding from the rain. Is it on?
Yes.
Now, hiding from the rain, the one-third of the angels are pissed at me. They've driven me into this empty tomb with no significance to wait out the hurricane.
So we're being rained on, and the bad angels forced me into this crummy, dirty tomb. I'm looking at the index to the whole cemetery. They got like 2,000 names. They tell you where they all are. So they want me to look at, see if I recognize any names. Well, I start recognizing a lot of names, and I break out into wild grief. You'll hear me start crying as I recognize all the dead names that are in there. And then you have a cute picture of Carolyn putting her head on my shoulder and comforting me as I weep at all the names of the dead people. So that's what we're going to see, this funny little skit.
To be Bob versus Bullock. Charlie Chaplin, the great model for Leopold Bloom in Ulysses by Joyce. So you have Connie here.
We're looking for some ghosts. We don't find them. I think we're in a parallel world. Where are they? They disappear.
Hiding from the rain. Is it on?
Yes.
Now, hiding from the rain, the one-third of the angels are pissed at me. They've driven me into this empty tomb with no significance to wait out the hurricane.
So looking at the names here, many names, many guys.
Where you say that, Nobody knows those people, only you.
I know everybody on here.
I only you have read those. We're looking for some.
What happens there? There's this cute image of Carolyn in her little hooded top, and she puts her shoulder on my shoulders. I'm bemoaning all the names, and Rocky says, Bob's the only one who knows all the names on the list. And so I'm wailing there, and people walk by, and they look at us, and I've stopped wailing, and then I see them, and I go, ugh! I do one token wail at them. But they don't budge. They ignore me. It's so cute. They watch this. You'll hear it. They all would go, ugh! I stop, and they go, ugh! And direct it at them so they can see my wailing. Okay, let's do that again.
We're looking for some ghosts. We don't find them. They think we're in a parallel world. Where are they? They disappear.
Hiding from the rain. Is it on?
Yes.
I'm hiding from the rain. The one-third of the angels are pissed at me. They've driven me into this empty tomb with no significance to wait out the hurricane. So looking at the names here, many names, many guys.
Where you say that, Nobody knows those people, only you.
I know everybody on here.
That's it. You can stop. Marie Callas.
So we start looking at the list of names that I'm bemoaning, and we realize I hardly recognize any name. So I fucking cried for no reason at all. I actually didn't know anybody on the list. All right? So watch this change of mental state or something. So we do recognize Maria Callas' name.
Everybody's there.
Yeah, G7. There's just up here.
Yeah, everybody that they didn't have the crops.
But they even Castiglione, like he's 500 years ago. If he's the artist.
I think that some artist Castiglione from 500 years before is being named, but turned out to be a courtesan named Castiglione. So I started looking at the map and seeing they have little red dots alongside the more famous people, the more special names. So I start getting pissed off because they don't have a dot beside Jim Morrison and a few other people that they should have dots by. So I think this is where I'm complaining, is that I get very unhappy with the map.
That's it. You can stop. Marie Callas.
Everybody's there.
Yeah, G7. There's just up here.
Yeah, everybody that they didn't have the crops.
But they even Castiglione, like he's 500 years ago. But he's the artist. Oh, this is a different Castiglione. Damn, you added that.
Don't you start from the beginning?
All right.
Yes. Bob knows everybody.
And we're going for the highlighted that have color. Maria Callas, everybody knows her. See the little red
They highlight the more famous people. Elian Kelis, I don't know. Emil Cole? I don't know.
Before you knew everybody, now I just don't know.
Pierre Dac, I don't know. We go up here. Paul Dukas, I don't know. Isadora Duncan, I don't know. I erase everything I've ever said.
She died with her scarf.
Yeah, see, that's... we mentioned this, Dora Duncan. Everybody knows about her. I claim not to know her, even though I have a whole story about Garrett having her bed. And then Roxy here says she died by her scarf.
Yeah, as she died for the scarf.
I'm a big guy, sir.
So
and the bike.
Max Ernst married. I knew him. He married
Peggy.
You at Guggenheim.
And he was also the boyfriend of Leonora Carrington.
That's right. Leonora Carrington, friend of... Remedios Barrow, yes. Harry Fragson, I do not know. There's many names here that aren't highlighted that I do know. Stefan Grappelli, I do know. Jazz guy. Jules Geste, I do not know. Okay, we go over here. Looking at the Reds.
Where's Jim Morrison?
Good point. Richard Wright, black author. I think he did Black Like Me. And Achille Zapata, I don't know. So, let's go over. Why wouldn't they have a marker beside Jim Morrison?
The Lizard Poet.
Yes, the Lizard King. Morrison. Yeah, they got him there. Jim Morrison with no red highlights.
Oh. Oh.
These are visually biased Parisians who don't like rock. They don't like tactile kinetic electric effects. So.
That's low culture.
Yeah, this is a very faulty map in terms of...
Yeah, stop running.
I knew now Pierre Boudot, there is a famous Bordeaux. I think he's still alive.
Did you get the wife?
This is the very odd that the ones who put the red marks here know nothing.
They don't highlight Oscar Wilde,
right.
My favorite.
Person, your first intellectual challenge was Oscar Wilde. There it is. See, no red mark on the five. Disgusting. I don't know who made this map. is there a guilty party? Editions Metropolitan Paris. We will get in touch with them and complain. Editions Metropolitan Paris made this map. They have a good bunch of names, but they're a little biased on who's worth.
I mean,
tabulating his.
Jim Morrison is low culture, but Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, that's no excuse.
In honor of Chaplin. Bob is being funny and it's going to spit up.
I have to go spit up, so I go off the camera. Now, it turns out this Chaplin is not Charlie Chaplin. He's some famous French theater person, actor, entertainer named Chaplin. So, anybody knows that, knows we must correct the Chaplin.
Wow. Look what we found. It's a...
So Roxy finds this elaborate ancient cross, you know, like a 800 AD cross. So we start talking about using it to fend off the vampires in the park here.
Real, antique. Very retro. Stop.
We have good news. Merleau-Ponty is not...
Roxy has a paroxysm of paranoia. She thinks I'm a vampire and she's holding up the cross against me. but I keep moving forward anyway.
Dead. There is no tomb for him. The phenomenologists are still contenders for those that did not die. And
so I couldn't find the tomb of one of the phenomenologists, so I put a little plug in for them saying they're pretty good. They are the closest faction to having immortality or staying alive. Let's check people. Is anybody... Everybody still here? Looks like it.
Yes.
All right.
Still here, Bob.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, do you like the music? Nice,
morbid.
Friendly music. Morbid.
The right time of the night for you guys.
Yeah, it's a real challenge.
Did you see me? I've got, because it's cold, I have on Karen's little orange jacket. So it looks like I'm in a straitjacket as they walk around with Hawaiian clothes on. No. Which is a ridiculous jacket, which is impossible for me to fit, but it somehow fits me. And then you see it on Carolyn, and you realize, holy shit, it must be so small. It fits Carolyn, but how do you get on Bob? But so, it's a great effect. We look like homeless. We look like parallel worlders just dropped in here from heaven and just sort of puzzled by this phenomenon of these dead people. It's like, what is he? What happened to these people? And I actually start becoming human, like people, cats become their owners. I start crying over these dead people because I think I know everybody. And then we go through the list. I don't know anybody. So we are very confused, basically. Disoriented here.
Roxy's starting to get suspicious of me. My improv is turning vampiric, and she's got the Christian crush on
Yeah. Roxy's gotten confused. She's pointing the vampire cross at me. She doesn't understand what I'm talking about, why I'm saying these things. She's frightened.
Listen.
Vampires, ghosts, and witchcraft in the cemetery of Pierre Lachaise. Some say that even Dracula is buried there. And in the Chemin du Dragon, there are several tombs whose angels have bat wings, and some even have bats instead of angels. Legend says they mark the way to find the way to Dracula's grave. Another famous legend is the one about the testament of La Baroness Elizabeth Alexandrova Demidov Stroganov, a rich Russian woman who will let her fortune... who will give her portion to a person able to stay at her tomb for 365 days and 366 nights. Many have tried, but until now, nobody succeeded. The person that tried the challenge, then they felt their life force leaving them. Some went crazy, and one died of a heart attack. The tomb is not even marked on the map. It is decorated with strange symbols. None of them are Christian. So we're looking at this, the pagan tomb.
Drops on it.
Yes, yes. Well, I think I urinated on a couple of things. I went in.
That'll do the trick.
Yeah.
No one was watching.
Have you ever been to this cemetery, Shah?
No way, no.
No. We're now looking at...
Bob,
I don't understand
what...
What?
Did you put some restructure on a grave?
That's coming up.
Okay.
That's coming up. I don't want to give it away story. But there's a picture of a woman, a beautiful woman, young woman, and she's human. She's not dead at all. and she's embedded in a tombstone. So I don't know what Roxy did here. Maybe she superimposed a human face into the apparatus, but it's quite spooky. So what are we looking for next? 134. Yeah, we're coming up to a guy named Kardec. And this seems to be the most popular tombstone, constantly layered with flowers. And he was a philosopher of theosophy and spiritualism, you know, seance and stuff. So, talking about a guy named Mucho and then Kardec, I think it is. And they're buried in the right place. They're experts on spirits.
Here. Yeah.
So Monsieur Proust is celebrated for his nostalgia for memory, for these.
Okay, we are coming up to Marcel Proust's tombstone, and I make a big story about how he met James Joyce in 1922 and died a few days later after he met James Joyce, because they're usually compared. They wrote big books at that time. Now we have here 551-34, and that. Why isn't that bio? Well, we'll see where this leads.
Perception.
For the perception of the aesthetic moment, right when the electric age is obsolete.
So Proust makes a big deal out of memory, and his famous line is the taste of the cookie called the Madeleine, where all of his life flashes before him or something. After he takes a bite or smells the Madeleine. So he makes a big archetype out of human memory right when memory is going to be obsolesced by the electric media speed up. So let's just go back a bit and see what I'm saying.
Here. Yeah.
So Monsieur Proust is celebrated for his nostalgia for memory, for the
perception.
For the perception of the aesthetic moment, right when the electric age is obsolescing the aesthetic moment, moving us into flux. So Proust archetypalized private memory as collective memory through modern electric media took over. So Proust was a rearview mirror guy, as opposed to James Joyce, who took memoria and used it as a probe. That's the present. Mr. Proust, unfortunately, was romanticized by the libertine.
We should bring him some Madeleines.
Madeleine? we stay on our street, is right beside Madeleine Restaurant.
Yes, that's his famous.
So the image freezes there, so I have to move it forward, but this is one of the clearest statements. If you can make out what I'm saying, I'm going to replay it so you can hear. The collective...
Yesterday was like a tropical... Here. Yeah.
So Monsieur Proust is celebrated for his nostalgia for memory, for these...
Perception.
For the perception of the aesthetic moment, right when the electric age is obsolescing the aesthetic moment, moving us into flux. So Proust archetypalized.